These are quick sort of rapid fire questions. So just share the first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
All right. What is the square root of? No, I'm just kidding. How smart is Dr. John Dempster?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Today, I sat down with a friend and colleague, Dr. John Dempster. John is a naturopathic doctor and functional medicine practitioner who, over the last few years, has developed a real passion for addressing mental health with his patient population and in a broader entrepreneurial world through some of his online summits. We got into some of the things that are missing in the lives of both of our patients that we think set them up to be more at risk in terms of managing anxiety and depression on a daily basis. There are a few key factors that we saw missing for these people in our own patient populations. And John goes on to talk about some of the elements and ways that he evaluates new patients and new clients who come into his practice who are looking to find more stability with respect to their mental health. What we discovered as we continued and delved in deeper into our conversation is that there are significant and consistent tenets that actually set us up for success when it comes to our mental health, and there are certain habits and social norms that tend to pull us down. This interview was insightful because it was personal. There is not a single person listening who isn't touched by mental health, either personally, through their patients, or through their friends or family. This is something that we can all relate to. This is information that we can all use. When we have a strong sense of who we are, when we have that confidence, when we aren't feeling depressed, when we aren't feeling anxious, we can carry on our mission in a way that is unimpeded. This particular episode is relevant to all of us, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Dr. John Dempster. Dr. John Dempster, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm great. Okay, so here's the thing. You are an entrepreneur, a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine practitioner, a father, a husband, adventurer. How did you get to that or this place and encompass all of those things? Give us a little bit of a background about who you are.
Yeah, sure. Well, you and I, both being graduates of CCM, know the journey it takes to become a naturopathic doctor, but we all have our own story. Mine began when I was probably about 8 years old, and I lost, it's kind of a sad story at the beginning, but I lost two uncles at a young age, one from my mother, one from my dad, siblings, to different chronic diseases. And I remember watching them go through this treatment, and they were going through, you know, the typical chemos and a lot of the heavy medications that go with chronic disease back in the 80s. And I just remember, you know, saying, why aren't they getting well? And unfortunately, they both passed away in their early 40s, and I just remember, and late 30s even, I remember saying to my dad and my mom, like, why didn't they get well? You know, what happened? And of course, you know, nobody has an answer to that. But I had this genuine interest in medicine even prior to that. And I think that was a real turning point. Even though I was only 8 years old, it was a real turning point for me because I started asking questions about medicine going forward and, you know, what works and what doesn't work. Then obviously, you know, going into my pre-med training, which again, I was still heading into become a medical doctor for a long time, I was always asking these questions about the power of nutrition and clinical nutrition, because based on what happened to my uncles, my parents did a complete 180 in their lifestyle. And we suddenly became kids in our small little town that weren't allowed to go to school unless we had our cod liver oil shot in the morning. We weren't allowed to have dinner until we had our glass of vegetable juice before dinner. And this is, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, this wasn't very common, commonplace at all. So, of course, you want to complain as a child because it doesn't taste good, but then you start to things settle in and you think about why your parents did this. And in my teens, I remember starting to become organically interested into the power of nutrition. And so the long and the short of it is that I realized that I wasn't going to get the training I wanted on a clinical nutrition perspective and a root cause resolution perspective necessarily just becoming an MD. So literally at the 11th hour, I was heading to McMaster, the 11th hour, I changed my application process and became fully and solely committed to becoming a naturopathic doctor. So here I am today.
Well, and we're all kind of grateful that it turned out that way.
Yeah. It's definitely been, it's been rewarding. You know, you question things at the beginning, Megan, but I remember just walking to that school and, you know, basically after the first week, I was like, no, I'm in this and here we go. And I haven't looked back since.
Well, and that's the thing, as you know, I think we can both relate to that. Some days you sort of feel like a salmon swimming upstream.
to put it lightly.
Right? But like, but there's kind of a reason the salmon's swimming upstream. It's not because it's crazy. It's because there's some gold up there. You know, you've had an evolution in your career. You not only practice naturopathic medicine, but you also practice functional medicine. And this is a term that I know a lot of us, we talk about and we throw this around, but what is functional medicine? What does it actually mean?
To me, it means root cause resolution. And I mentioned that term earlier, but that I could sum it up very easily in that. And, you know, I think that has a very close alignment to us as naturopathic doctors. But where the functional medicine differs is we start to understand a lot more about getting some analytics and really understanding that person as a unique individual and not just treating them naturally, but treating them based on what their unique situation is, whether, you know, there are biomarkers we can learn from them that are going to dictate a certain course of treatment will benefit them better than another, whether there's certain lifestyle activities, certain emotional traumas or events that we need to remove. You know, these are the types of things that we talk about. And of course, we have the environment to consider in there as well. So to me, functional medicine is root cause resolution that is customized to the individual.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, you talk about that, addressing these unique factors that make people who they are, or part of their story. I know this is a huge part of functional medicine, is plotting out the story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in looking at that, I get the sense, and I've seen this evolution in your own work, where you have a real focus on mental health and mental well-being. What was it that brought you to include that with such a focus in your practice?
Well, you know, it's a great question. A lot of doctors have stories that are personal that they've gone through. And for me, my story and my journey into mental health actually came from a close friend, a patient who became a close friend during the process of us working together. And this was a guy by the name of Ross McKenzie. And Ross is fully aware that we're talking today. And Ross is now a spokesperson because of his journey. So he doesn't mind me sharing his name. But this journey that Ross has been on was incredible. And it touched me and it really impacted me when we met about 8 years ago. He was referred to me for some help and came to me. And it's interesting, we're also living in Costa Rica and chatted with somebody. It's funny how the world works. He bumped into somebody on the beach, said, "You need to go see Dr. Dempster." And so lo and behold, he flew to Canada and we started to get to understanding what his goals were. But he really wanted to come off of lithium, and he was diagnosed with bipolar at a young age. And lithium, for as many who may be listening know, is a commonly prescribed medication for bipolar, but it's not one without certain side effects, many that can be quite intense. So Ross was determined to get off of this med, and he came to me and said, "Look, you know, I've heard about you. I don't know too much about what you do, but I'm putty in your hands. Let's roll." And, you know, lo and behold, we started to do a functional workup, as I do with all my patients, where we start to measure nutrient values, understand what's going on in the gut, and start to look at toxicity burden. And it just so happened that Ross had all sorts of issues with heavy metals in his body, specifically mercury. And again, just to kind of fast forward here, we worked together for the better part of a year to cut out a lot of this debris out of his body. And at the same time, we noticed he had some gut issues going on that were really impacting his ability to absorb nutrients. And as these things started to resolve, he was able to slowly start to wean himself off with the work with his prescribing doc off his lithium. And literally a year later, he was off his meds. And then we started to clear out a lot of debris. And Ross came to me and said, look, this was a game changer for me. It was a life changer. I have my life back for the last 20 years. I literally have been sitting there doing nothing with my life. Doctors told me to expect that. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to stay on lithium for the rest of your life. And Ross's story was so incredible. He got the attention of a director and they wanted to make a movie of it. So Ross came to me and asked if I'd be part of the documentary. And we agreed that this would be a good idea to get the word out. And the documentary did very well. It won some awards. And in lieu of that, I went back to Ross and I said, look, we have to get this out to more people. And we have to get this message out to the masses. Let's host a summit together and talk about the connection between natural health, specifically functional medicine, and mental health conditions such as anxiety, depression, ADD, et cetera. And so here we are. We're actually just coming up on our second summit, Megan, that will be hosted, that we are hosting, and it's launching September 25th. So, a few weeks from now. Anyways, we are very excited, and that's really become a passion project for me, is to help people with various degrees of mental health conditions. So that's a big part of my journey at the moment.
Well, I can speak from my practice, and I'm sure you have something similar to say about yours, but almost a quarter of my patients are on antidepressants or some side of psychometric medication. Do you see this in your practice as well?
Absolutely. We don't just treat mental health conditions in here. People come to us for all issues, but it's amazing that people that come to us for non-mental health conditions are still on these medications. I would say that number is very conservatively estimated in my patient group. And it's not just one, right? You'll see a lot of this polypharmacy happening. And that really becomes interesting because we haven't seen a study to date that has ever combined all these drugs together.
Well, and the thing that I find so interesting too is I'll say, are you on any medication? And they'll go, oh, no, I'm not. And I'll say, does that include the birth control pill and any sort of antidepressant or anxiolytic? And they're like, oh, yeah, but those don't even count. Like,
they
that's just how, isn't that how everyone just navigates the real world nowadays?
Well, we've been told that, we're going to, anxiety is just everywhere. People are depressed. So here's your pill. That's the mantra we've been indoctrinated with. And I think it is something that we do need to start to question and change, and I'm preaching to the choir on this, but that's something that is very commonplace in our practice for sure.
Well, yeah, we have a book club happening this month in our legacy group, and we're reading A Mind of Your Own by Kelly Brogan. And what I love about this book is, she's a conventionally trained psychiatrist, and it's almost like she just threw up the towel and she was like, what the heck is going on here? Like this is just sheer madness, that this is continuing the way that it is. And I really want to be able to help provide, not only insight for people in terms of the fact that you're not alone, but too, that you have control over this, that it is not your destiny, that the only way to navigate this world is to be on medication. You mentioned with Ross's story that you did work to clean up his gut. How often are you seeing correlations between mental health and issues with respect to the gut?
Yeah, and great question. I'm certainly excited to dive in there, but I wanted to say, Kelly Brogan is doing amazing things. She was one of our esteemed speakers on our first summit and brought the house down. And so the work she's doing, and other doctors, and alongside of her, that have almost punched out of the traditional paradigm of MD protocols is powerful. And, this is really where the movement is going right now with functional medicines. We're getting a lot of these integrated docs working together with naturopathic docs and creating this awareness. So, sorry, I had to digress just for a moment and give Kelly a shout out.
We'll always give Kelly a shout out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But to your point, so the gut's interesting. And again, this is something that we've seen a lot in research right now, is that there's a lot of connections between what goes on with our hormones and neurotransmitters. Basically everything to do with well-being and health and wellness starts in our gut. And so a lot of our patients who come to us with these issues, we have never been told this and have never even considered looking there to talk about their depression or anxiety or attention deficit issues, let alone other pathologies that they may have had. But so much goes on there. We have to make sure that there is no inflammation that's blocking absorption, whether that be from the foods we're eating, whether that be from organisms that are residing in there that shouldn't be there, or organisms that are missing that should be there. You know, these are the types of things that we measure in our clinic, and we start to get a put a picture together for our patients, or as I say, a GPS, and we get an idea of where we need to go. So it's massive. And if we're not pulling in the nutrients we need to produce these neurotransmitters and these hormones that make us feel happy or sad or calm or anxious, then we're really not treating the root of the problem in many regards. And I also like to say the gut is your foundation. You know, if we don't have a strong foundation, how can we build a house? How can we build something that's supposed to stand up properly and be strong if we don't have that foundation laid?
Yeah, so in looking at this, and looking at this epidemic of overprescribing, where do you think this lies for most people? Is it that we have increased diagnostics and we can help more people through medication, or is this becoming the normalcy? Like, where do you feel like the story starts?
Well, I think it's a slippery slope, and you know, I'm not somebody who's opposed to medications across the board, but I'm certainly opposed to this being the first line therapy for a lot of people, especially when you see the host of side effects that accompany these medications. So, you know, in many situations, our patients don't need these drugs at all. You know, so this is something that they're just not told. And so I think that we are in, you know, a society right now that's really embraced that pill for your ill mentality, that instant gratification, if you will, Megan, you know, where right now with technology and everything, we're just, you know, we're used to getting things quickly. And if our depression, God forbid, doesn't lift in a day, well, we better get on a medication. If our anxiety keeps happening, you know, in certain situations, we better get on a drug. I think we've been indoctrinated and really, you know, messed up in a sense that what the priorities need to be. And some of these symptoms are literally who we are. And I'm not saying that these aren't important things to help get under control, but I think we've got to stop changing who we are, but start changing the things that affect us and really look at our environment, look at our relationships, look at how we deal with stress. Why do we have so much stress? You know, these are things that are just happening across the board right now in our, you know, developed nation, I think. And I think we have to really reevaluate all these things.
Okay. So you're a parent now. Mm-hmm. How is raising kids? And I know you're not at the point where you're like fully dialoguing.
Well, hey, but, baby babble is its own language.
It's important.
Right?
It's important. I do not mean to dismiss it. How is what you have learned and where you are going with respect to your career and the types of patients that you treat, how's that going to impact how you parent your daughter?
I love this question. This is something that my wife and I, Amy and I, have talked about a lot about. And I've always thought about it even prior to meeting my wife and having her daughter, obviously. This is, to me, I always knew that something was going to shift when I became a parent. And it's crazy. It totally did. My priorities, obviously, are focused on my family. But it also gives me this sense of protection. And my family comes first, and then my patients are right behind that, right? So for me, now I'm totally trying to create messages in a lifestyle that really support looking after my daughter, my wife, and my patients. And I would say not necessarily in a different way, but in a more focused way. Like, I'm really, you know, I'm taking that extra day a week right now, and I'm shifting my career in a way that can support that so that I can spend Fridays with my daughter. And I want to, even though she's only 10 months old, I want to really be there physically for her, Megan. And, you know, there'll be lots of things that we're going to adjust, you know, outside of just Friday, so to speak. But I really changed my priorities in terms of now I've got to focus on her. And you really become protective, and you get that. My wife calls me the lion that's kind of walking through the glass, looking for things that I need to kind of defend. And it's pretty powerful. So I don't know if that quite answers the question of where you wanted to go with it. But, you know, even in a sense with my patients now, I really have this, they say, oh, you know what, you've got this real sense of groundedness now. And I would say it's focus. You know, I really know what I have to do, and that's to help people understand a lot about what's going on with them. And this is why I was trying to do some of these larger platforms to deliver more messages that impact more people.
Yeah, and I had no agenda with that question. I'm always just fascinated by the way that
it's a great question.
It shifts people, right? Like I say, I have three kids, and I say that they're my secret weapon in terms of of productivity and focus. And like I'm razor sharp on what I need to get done during the day, so I can be present and be with them. When I'm not doing my other work, and
it hones in on the mission, right? Like it really hones in on what. It, you know, we always joke, oh, what are you here for? You know, what's your mission in life? Well, I probably didn't have a clear idea of that until I became a parent.
And yet it's fascinating because I think being a parent challenges us from a physical and also from a mental health perspective, perhaps more than any other factor that is thrown into our world. What do you do in terms of balancing all of the things that you have going on your plate, in terms of really ensuring that you don't let anxiety run out of control, that you are focused and happy and positive and all of those things you need to be an effective entrepreneur and doctor?
Yeah. And once again, another great question. Now, as you really become to hone in on a space that deals with this on a day-to-day basis, you really start to look at yourself and really evaluate how well are you walking that walk, right? And I've always identified myself as a pretty calm guy, but you throw, as you say, being a parent, running, you know, some very busy businesses and all that in the mix, everything just really boils down to a small, fine, tight line that you walk. And so for me, you know, exercise daily is absolutely a must. And thank goodness my wife is really on board with that. And, you know, we're all about self-care from a physical and mental perspective, but it starts with being active and just taking that time to get out and get a sweat on, obviously eating accordingly. You know, we are really, even, you know, we were healthy eaters before, but now we're really, really ramped it up in terms of making sure, you know, we're providing the right foods for our daughter now. But the other big thing is to take some downtime. I've always, I would say, been a multitasker, self-confessed multitasker growing up. And now I'm really starting to boil that down too, because that doesn't really help anybody as we're starting to learn. And I'm really making sure that I take time to spend time with my family and shut the phone off and chill and not be walking around on a conference call with my earbuds on when I'm holding my baby. You know, these are things that we literally have to schedule into our program because my wife's very busy as well. But this is important. And we take a time each year to do a big trip. And for me, my big reset each year, Megan, is going up to the Arctic and doing a whitewater canoe trip for 2 weeks. And I never feel so grounded as I do when I come back from that. And that's something that is a big part of my practice and discussion with my patients, not just that everybody would like to go up and donate blood to mosquitoes in the far north every summer and, you know, get pounded through freezing cold ice rivers. But these are things for me that grounds me. It's important for everybody to find something that grounds them and really prioritize it. Put it in your schedule. We have this thing in our society right now where we pride ourselves for being busy. And I personally think that we need to stop priding ourselves being busy and pride ourselves with, you know, what are you doing that you love? What are you doing that you enjoy? You know, how many times have you gone to a party and people say, oh, I'm just so swamped right now. I'm just so, you know, I'm run ragged, you know, so busy, so busy. And it's almost like we're looking for that. Congratulations, you know, you're a success and, you know, keep it up. You're doing awesome. That's what society expects of you. I think we need to look at that and say, hey, you know what? You know, we're grateful for being busy, but what I really love to do is X, and what I really want to go and, you know, see is this. And that's really how we recharge and look after ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. The busyness is a huge impediment to health for so many of my patients. And it's interesting. I really try to draw a delineation for them between purpose and passion. And passion, I find, keeps people really busy, and purpose keeps you super focused on the outcome and on the mission. And maybe you can comment on this a little bit in terms of your own practice population, the busyness and how that contributes to adrenal fatigue. What's happening massive. On a physiological level for these busy, busy people?
Well, sure. And, you know, this is something we see all the time, which is, you know, a big area that I focus on as well as the chronic fatigue side of the mental health. And something that we obviously address in our patients is what's going on with their endocrine system. And largely when somebody comes in and they're living that sort of burned out, you know, stressed and tired type of caricature when they come in, we definitely measure their adrenals. We run a very sophisticated hormone test that gives us about 8 pages of data, not just on their adrenals, but how that impacts all of their hormones in their body. You know, your adrenal glands are your stress glands. We're all going to use them. We need them to function well. But what will happen is as they, if they don't have an opportunity to recharge on a regular basis, then we're slowly lowering that battery and draining that battery down so that we don't get the full recharge it deserves. So, you know, we're shortcutting ourselves on sleep. We're putting stimulants to kind of fight through that fatigue. And again, once again, it's not treating the root of that problem, right? It's not root cause resolution, but it's more symptom-based approach, which is what where we've been classically trained. And we're not looking at putting in the right nutrients into our body that are actually going to produce the cofactors, produce all the hormones that are necessary for healing. So, you know, we have a model in our clinic, Megan, when you test, you don't guess. So we really try to focus in on getting the metrics and truly identifying if it is adrenal fatigue and at what level, right? There's different levels of adrenal fatigue that we need to look at because that would require certain levels of treatment depending on where they're at.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of actually testing for these mm-hmm. things. I think one of the challenges for so many of our patients is that they have gone to see their doctor and they've tested TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone and it's been normal and they've said, oh, you know, your thyroid's not connected to it, so therefore take this medication and you'll feel better. And I think what this opportunity to do functional testing, to get 8 pages of data and how all these things interact, is you really start to lift up the hood and get a unique insight in terms of someone's body. But it's also an opportunity to acknowledge things that they have been feeling for a long period of time. And I feel like that is one of the areas where our patients have been handed a disservice, is that very few physicians are fully acknowledging with the breadth of testing that they do what people are actually going through.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so critical. You know, just to touch on your thyroid, you know, the average patient comes in with their TSH, as you said, well, there's another 5 different blood markers for thyroid. And if any one of those are off, we have a problem. And the amount of patients I've seen that have the perfect thyroid TSH marker, but have had another marker that's been way off, you wouldn't be surprised, but many people listening would be surprised. And it's just, we've got to make sure that we're being more thorough. And unfortunately, we have to move away from sometimes our standard healthcare paradigms or illness care paradigms, as I like to say, and move into more of a healthcare model.
Yeah, I often say that testing someone's TSH and saying that they're fine is kind of like listening to a kid say their ABCs and assuming they can read.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We just don't have enough. We just don't have enough information to say that with any level of conclusiveness.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that's so great about naturopathic medicine is that we're not limited to a single modality or intervention. We're not just giving them a drug. So, I mean, all due respect to physicians, they don't have that many tools at their disposal in terms of how they can actually treat the individuals in their office. You know, we don't just have talk therapy. We don't just have supplementation. Take us through sort of the multifactorial approach that you use with your patients in terms of addressing anxiety or depression, for example.
Sure. You know, as you said, you know, there are some core things that we do biochemically. You know, we make sure that they're eating foods that aren't going to trigger their anxiety or depression. And there are many that can do both. And we customize the diet. We start to look at their nutrient levels. We customize that. We remove toxins from the body that can be what we're called endocrine disruptors. You know, once we kind of get the biochemistry set, at the same time, and this is just as important, if not more important, we're talking about lifestyle. We're talking about basics. How much sleep are you getting? How much exercise are you getting? You know, there's no medicine that replaces sleep. There's no medicine or shortcut that replaces you getting off your butt and moving. These are things that absolutely have a critical role to play. We talk about mindfulness exercises. These are things, this is massive right now, and there's a huge consciousness shift going on right now with mindfulness and mental health, making sure that patients are doing things as simple as 10 deep breaths every hour can help reduce their stress by 40%. Are you doing that? That takes no time in your day. These are great things that, you know, when you work with busy people, they really love those things because it has what I call no downtime. It's something they can do when they're in their board meeting or when they're driving and sitting in traffic, whatever that may be. Meditation, yoga. Obviously, there's a lot of science there supporting both of these things. And I've had the opportunity to do some work at Harvard. And they're really focusing on this right now with, you know, full mindfulness programs and the research right now, especially on that breathing. That study came from Harvard, which is very cool. And so there's obviously some, you know, collective shifts of some very bright minds focusing on the impact that these types of techniques can do. And that really creates a well-rounded approach, Megan. You know, the biochemistry is one part, but we've got to look at not only how are they handling stress, but what are the sources of stress in their life? How are their relationships? Are you in a toxic environment at work 24/7? We need to talk about that. You know, are you in a relationship at home? That's a problem. We need to talk about that. And, you know, obviously there's people that are willing to make changes in those areas and some that aren't quite as easy to just change overnight. But we have to get to the root of the problem. And you can't get to the root of the problem until you identify the sources of these triggers. So that's a big part of our program, if you will. We actually are launching a program later this fall. It's called the Mental Wellness Tribe. And we'll keep you posted when the launch happens. But this is a online platform, I guess the other part I want to mention that's really important is community, right? And so we've got to have this sense of, well, don't suffer in silence anymore. You know, we've all learned of the stigma of depression and how people have often bottled it up for years without even some people even knowing, family members, close friends. And then suddenly we hear, you know, about tragedies all the time and people like, I didn't even know that this was going on with them. Community is so powerful. It's such a powerful medicine. We actually have a private Facebook group and a public one, but where people can start to chat amongst themselves and really feel connected with people that are going through the same things. And I find that that's something that is probably the most helpful healing tool of them all, you know, having that sense of acceptance and assurance that they're not alone and that, you know, and also start to have a soundboard where people can bounce ideas off of each other, what's working for them, what hasn't worked, and move forward.
I think those are such great points. You know, there's a few things that you mentioned in your own world that I feel like, you know, are basics that so many people are missing out on, and you introduce them and they're such a transition that happens for people. So certainly making sure those base nutrients and those fundamentals are intact, but creating the opportunity for community and connecting to nature are two actions that I have found fundamentally transformative for a huge number of my patients.
Thank you. I forgot the nature of my vitamin N. But it's so important, Megan. You absolutely said that's for me, you know, personally, that's where I feel grounded. And I tell my patients, you know, even just get out and walk through the forest. You don't have to drive far or buy a plane ticket to do that. You know, just get outside, get some sun. Absolutely massive.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't have to, it's funny, right across the street from our house is, we've got gardens and a driveway, but we don't have grass. And our kids naturally will run outside, they'll cross the street and they'll sit on our neighbor's front yard because they just want to connect.
Yeah.
They want to connect to the ground. The concept of groundedness is actually, it's real.
Totally. Absolutely real.
John, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, this is a great question. It's something that I think is going to continue to evolve, but I think really I want to be known, obviously, as somebody who really listens to their patients and personalize the program. But ultimately, I just want to be known as somebody who really cared to make a shift and spread some awareness about mental health and optimal health in general. And really, you know, health is not the absence of disease. It's about understanding what you can do at any point or at any level of your health. I'm all about self-improvement, and I think we can all constantly do things that are going to improve not only our lifestyle for ourselves, but things that are going to impact our family, our community, and then in the big picture, you know, the world as a whole. So, you know, I think I have a very small role there, but that's something that right now that's my vision of and my sort of purpose of why I'm here. And if I can help anybody, help them along that way, that's to me, you know, going to be fulfilling.
And you sort of touched on this, but how would you define health?
Yeah. So again, it's not just because you haven't been given a diagnosis. That doesn't mean you're healthy. Health is a combination of everything. You know, what are your relationships like at home? What's your energy like? You know, what's going on with, are you in pain? Do you have any issues with digestion? All these things, it's such a cumulative definition, but for me, it's about taking it to the best you can be so that you are moving right, you're thinking right, you're speaking right, and you're just living life to its fullest. It's a bit of a vague description that I'm going to apologize, but that's something that I think is, it's so multifactorial. It's hard to sum it up in one word.
Well, what I love about it is that it's not, you're not defining it by the absence of something. You're defining it by its inclusiveness, what you're able
Correct.
To do. And I think that's just so, it's so fundamental to that shift in understanding about what our health and our bodies can actually enable us to do. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. I think this is a really great place to transition in terms of the questions that we ask. So for the second part of the interview, I have something that I call KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we would have these for our business, I think we also have them with respect to our health and our life. And this is kind of an opportunity for people to get to know Dr. John Dempster behind the scenes and really a little bit of insight in terms of how you live your life. So these are quick sort of rapid fire questions. So just share the first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
All right. What is the square root of? No, I'm just kidding. How smart is Dr. John Dempster? I know. I'm totally teasing. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Sure. Yeah, I like to run. So I can't say it happens every day with a newborn or 10-month-old now. It's certainly post that it's a challenge, but I like to move in the morning. I feel great when I move in the morning. If I'm not running, I'm walking to work. And when I walk to work, I actually give gratitude to three things every day. So that's just part of my morning routine. And I do that when I'm walking, regardless, but I love to do these things in the morning, sunshine, whatever. Maybe not so much this summer, but these are things that I do every single day. And I also have a morning smoothie. So I like my breakfast smoothie.
Love it. It's easy and efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Nonfiction. I love biographies.
Mm-hmm. This is the consistent theme of the day. Yeah. What are you reading right now?
Right now. So I just finished, actually, an interesting one. I just got back from a conference in Arizona two nights ago. And on the plane, I finished Into the Gray, which is about PhD doc that is doing all the research for people that are deemed vegetative state. And showing that they're actually able to communicate when they're in that, they're not brain dead. And so to me, that was very fascinating. But I'm blanking on the name, but fascinating read.
Interesting. And are you listening to these on Audible? Are you reading them on a Kindle? Are they actual
paper?
I
like to hold a book. I love books. And I know it's, in today's day and age with technology, and I love technology, but I still love a book. So I have to hold it.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
I would say exercise. That would be something that I really just really don't feel good if I omit, especially, beyond a day or two. So that would be number one.
And what do you do for fun or play?
Ooh, we have lots of that. So we travel. We are very close with our families. My wife and I especially have very tight families, so we spend a lot of time with them. And we're both very social with friends, so we value getting out with our friends, having time with our kids to play and interact, and obviously time for adult fun too, right? So we both love music. I love sports. We try to combine that in our travels as much as we can.
Love it. Last question for you. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think you've got to have a sense of it from the beginning, but obviously that needs to grow. For me personally, I think I was born with it because I just, you look back at your life and I'm selling, as a kid, I'd run up to the local golf course, find golf balls and sell them for $3 a dozen on the side of the road. Little things like that kind of stick with you. You're like, did I own that? I don't know. But I think we can always grow into it. And I think what stops a lot of entrepreneurs quick sidebar, you know, is that whole fear thing, right? And, you know, just I think what makes a true successful entrepreneur is somebody that can just kind of punch through that fear of failure and keep rolling with it. So I think we all have some sense of it, but it needs to flourish and we need to nurture it to come to effect.
John, you're up to a lot of things and have some incredible initiatives in the pipeline for this fall that I know are going to be really helpful for people. Take us through what some of those are and where people are going to be able to find you.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Megan. We're, as I said earlier, we're hosting our second annual Mental Wellness Summit. This one's called Mental Summit, mentalwellnesssummit2.com. You can check that out online and register. We're in full registration phase right now. Our first summit, we had over 80,000 people attend, and we're trying to triple that for this one, just to get out there to many and more people across the planet. So that's our number one initiative. So that goes from September 25th through October 2nd. We've got tremendous speakers, the likes of J.J. Virgin, Dr. Mark Hyman, Pedram Shojai, James Maskell, David Jockers, Dave Asprey, you know, just to name a few. We've got all sorts of great different types of content that all pertains to helping you get to your best level of mental health and wellness. So totally recommend everybody to check that out. It's free for the week. Go and get on there, take advantage of these lectures. It's powerful information. And in lieu of that, of our summit launch in mid-October, we're going to be launching our Mental Wellness Tribe, which, as I alluded to, is our online platform. It's a membership-based platform for anybody who wants to even take it even further and deeper and really start to get some powerful information sent to them on a regular basis. So those are two of our projects right now.
That's amazing. Well, we'll have all of the links for those in our show notes, and we'll be sure to share them with our audience as we get a little bit closer to launch. Dr. Dempster, thanks so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you, Megan. This has been awesome, and thanks for all that you do.
My pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.